Harman Miksha
and Sophia Miksha,
your hosts of Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter multi-generational podcast filled with laughter, wisdom, and advice.
I am a high school student in the Ivy program, a runner, and a sister.
I have a BA and MA degree in English and have published 3 poetry books, a tennis book, and 2 essay anthologies, which you can find on Amazon or my website, carmenmiksabooks.com. I am also the broker CEO of Dynamic Real Estate, my own company. To buy or sell a home with me, please visit my website, dynamicsacramentohomes.com, and mention this podcast for a discount on commission.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise you Seeds of Sunshine once a week to elevate your lives and dreams through better communication between generations.
Dr. Moore Orman, MD, is an internal medicine physician and a 40-year anger elimination and stress elimination expert. He has written 23 books on how to eliminate anger and stress without using drugs, relaxation exercises, or other traditional management techniques. He is the creator of the 10-session Angry No More Anger Elimination Program and the Ultimate Stress Relief System and Training Program. Dr. Orman has led more than 100 anger and stress elimination workshops for doctors, nurses, lawyers, entrepreneurs, and even the FBI. He has also been the official sponsor of National Stress Awareness Month in the U.S. every April since 1992. His newest book, Dr. Orman Life-Changing Anger Cure, is scheduled for release in March 2024.
Welcome, Dr. Moore Orman. We are deeply honored and happy to have you on Season 2 of our Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter podcast. And how are you today?
I am fine. I'm sitting in sunshine right now in the state of Florida. So plenty of sunshine here.
Yes, how wonderful.
Yes.
And before we dive into our fun and inspiring conversation, as always, we have a quote and a joke. And I picked those quotes and the joke. They are about anger, because we're going to talk a lot about anger.
Okay.
So Aristotle said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everyone's power. And it is not easy. What do you think?
I would disagree with the second part. The first part, absolutely. It's very easy to get angry. We all do it automatically. You don't have to think a lot to do it. It just happens. It is a challenge. If you are going to get angry, it's a challenge to do it with the right person at the right time in the right way and all that stuff. And that is not easy. But there's an even better option, which is just to not get triggered to be angry. and that actually everybody has the ability to do that. They just don't know that they have the ability to do it. They haven't been introduced to the right framework for doing it. But everybody has the ability to stop getting angry most of the time. And it's actually not as hard as people think it is.
And we will talk
actually,
about
people
it.
Think it's excited. People think it's impossible, but it's really not.
Yes. And then the pun, let's see if you get the answer, Dr. Mort. What happens when you anger a brain surgeon?
Not many good things, probably.
They will give you a piece of your mind.
That's true. That's very true.
Yes. Yeah. And so before we talk about the many things that you do, my daughter, who is at school, is always interested in our guests' background and their childhood. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us something that you learned as a child that you still apply to your life now?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. In my childhood, I didn't have a lot of anger in my family. My mother and father were not very angry people. They didn't fight a lot. Or if they did, they didn't do it in front of me and my sister. So I didn't grow up in an angry environment. But one thing that did happen to me, and it was kind of lucky, I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland in the 1950s, and I was a sports fan, and I developed a childhood hero in Johnny Unitas, who was a famous football quarterback for the Baltimore Colts. And my father had season tickets. He had 2 season tickets to all the home games. And we went to games together as a rich father-son ritual. And so I watched Johnny Unitas play, and he had such a winning attitude. I mean, he had He was just confident, no matter what the situation in the game was, he was going to find a way to win. And that winning attitude just kind of seeped into me as a fan, as a young boy growing up. And he really instilled that winning attitude in me. My parents gave me a lot of values and a lot of, you know, good things, but they never gave me the winning attitude the way Johnny Unitas did. So that then that carried through my entire life. Every time I ran into an obstacle or I ran into a difficulty in school or in college or medical school, and I always had that spirit, you know, of I can do it, I'll find a way, you know, I'll end up, you know, solving the problem or being victorious. So that impression on me as a 10-year-old boy, you know, sitting in a stadium with thousands of other people watching him play, really had a lasting impact on my entire life. I can look back and see a lot of things that might not have happened had I not had that exposure and not had adopted that winning attitude, including dealing with anger, because I was not winning for many years in dealing with anger. And part of what kept me going and kept me looking for solutions was that, you know, you're going to find, we'll find a way, somehow, some way we'll solve the problem that I got from Johnny Unitas.
Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful story. I love that. And isn't it wonderful how we are able to look back and reflect and just realize, yeah, that was the starting point for me to develop that winning attitude.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't realize it, you know, it happened, but I didn't, it was only when I was like in my 40s and I was able to look back and see the path that I had gone on and realize that it had been very powerfully influenced by my exposure to him as a young boy.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And as we said in the introduction and in your bio, which is quite impressive, Dr. Mort, you have practiced internal medicine for 50 years. Mm-hmm. You are now retired. And then you have also practiced anger management, being a coach for 40 years. And today we're going to talk a lot about anger management because I just feel that the world is getting angrier and angrier.
Oh, well, your feeling is correct. It is. I will say one thing. We're not going to talk a lot about anger management. We're going to talk about anger elimination.
Oh, yes.
Which is anger different. Elimination. Which is different. And when we manage our anger, we're just kind of dealing with the symptoms and punching bags and running and doing things to dissipate the anger that's building up inside of us. I'm talking about eliminating anger so it doesn't build up in us. And then there's nothing we have to worry about managing or expressing or suppressing because we're just not getting angry as much as we used to. So that's what I like to specialize in, is helping people understand how to stop getting angry, which I call anger elimination. And then other people can teach them how to manage their anger if they want to, but hopefully they won't have any to manage when they get done with me.
I love that. Yes, yes. Because we all know that movie, Anger Management, right?
And it's, yes.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it. There's two different concepts. When you manage to actually eliminate your anger, then there's nothing to manage.
Yes. And one, the anger management deals mainly with reducing the symptoms or the expression of anger, controlling the expression of anger. Anger elimination deals with the causes, and particularly the causes inside us that we haven't really been well educated about to understand. So we think we understand what's causing our anger, but we really are way off base most of the time. And that part of my mission is to re-educate people so they really understand anger in a much better way, and they can get in touch with the internal causes of what's generating their anger so that returns them to having more power and control over their anger than they ever thought they could have.
Wonderful. And not only are you this anger elimination expert, but you decided to write a book, and your newest book is Dr. Orman's Life-Changing Anger Cure, and it was released this year in March, right?
Yes. So where that book comes from is, now I've been teaching people the principles of eliminating anger for over 40 years, but in the last couple years, I've boiled it down into a 10-session coaching program that I do over Zoom, just like this. We do an hour a week for 10 sessions. And I teach people how to really go from being angry. Some people angry all their lives, tried anger management, didn't work, went to therapy, it didn't work. And I can put them through this 10-session program. And at the end of it, they're just like completely different people. They're not getting angry as much anymore. They don't get triggered as often. If they do get angry, they know how to step in and turn it off anytime they want. So I've been running people into that program and having great success with it. But there's only a limited number of people that I can handle one-on-one like that. And the problem of anger, as you mentioned, in the world is just growing and growing. So it's I'm never going to make a dent just by working one-on-one with people. So that's why I decided to write the book. And I put everything I teach in that program into the book. So literally, it's got the whole blueprint, all the tools, all the resources. You can take that book without going through my program and learn how to eliminate most of your anger if you're serious about it and you apply yourself, you know, to the principles in there. And so that was my purpose in writing the book, is to just get more and more people exposed to a better way to understand their anger, a better way to deal with it.
That's wonderful, Dr. Moritz. And can you give us a specific example from your book that, you know, our listeners can listen to us and they say, oh, I can apply this right away?
Sure. And again, it's not so easy, but it's sort of easy. So one of the things I point out in the book is that we misunderstand what our anger comes from. We think it's we use our common sense, which we think is good, but in this case, it's not. It looks like anger is a direct cause-effect situation, like a one causes two. So we see something we don't like, we see somebody doing something that we don't like, or they lie to us, or they steal from us, or they criticize us or something like that. And then we feel the anger and it looks like one cause two, like a direct one cause two equation. And that's what I used to think when I was in my 20s and 30s and had a lot of anger as a young man and a young doctor that I couldn't get rid of. It wasn't until I realized or found out that anger is actually a four-step process. There's actually three causes before you get to the anger. There's the one cause that we all see, the initiating cause, okay? But there's two other causes in the middle that happen inside us that are invisible and we don't see them, we don't know what they are. And one of them is that we see the world not as it really happens, but through various filters that our brain filters everything. There's just too much data coming in for our brain to handle it all. So our brain has developed ways to kind of chunk things down and simplify things. And in the process, they leave important things out and present a view of reality to us that looks like it's complete, but it's really missing a lot of things. And when you have, there's three particular filters that cause anger, and we can go into them in a minute if you want to. But when you look through those filters and you believe that what you're seeing is true, okay, and without any distortions or missing anything, then you get the emotion of anger. Unfortunately, a lot of times there are things missing and we're not aware of it. So the filters are actually causing our anger, not the situations. So for example, you and your daughter could be standing next to each other and witness the same event. And one of you might feel anger and the other one not, because same event, but it gets in you, your brain filters it through different filters, depending upon what you're used to, how you're used to looking at things. And the one of you that gets angry is going to have those three main anger producing filters. And the one who doesn't is going to not have them. But so it's the filters that cause the anger, not the external situations that happen, even though, and we think we've got that reversed. We think it's the external situations that directly cause the anger, and they don't. They just trigger the filters inside us. So that's what a lot of the book is about, showing people how to understand what those three filters are and then what they can do with that knowledge once they understand that, because they can then use that knowledge to intervene whenever they get angry or start to get angry, and they can turn it off or on as they want to.
All right. Yeah. So a practical advice would be to really stand back and assess the situation and understand that you might see things, you know, not in an accurate light. That's what those filters are.
Yes, but the first step, it's even easier than that, because that's hard to do because it's so, it could be anything.
Right.
You know, assess the situation could be anything. Could be a thousand different things, okay? But really, there are only these three filters. When you're angry, these three filters are always causing the anger. So if you know the three filters, anytime you get angry, it's like, oh, now I know why I got angry. I was looking this way, and this way. And you want me to tell you what they are?
Yes.
Okay. So the first way you have to be looking to get angry is you have to see somebody doing something that's bad or wrong and they shouldn't have done. So no, we don't get angry if we think somebody is doing something wonderful or terrific or fantastic. Okay.
Yes.
It's usually a negative judgment about, you know, doing something bad or wrong. And this could be a person or it could be a thing. So if you're angry at your computer or your television set because it's not working properly, it's doing something it shouldn't be doing, you know, when you're looking at it that way. The second filter is you have to see some hurt or some harm or negative impact coming from the bad behavior. So either you're negatively impacted or somebody else that you care about is negatively impacted. So there's somebody doing something bad and wrong as first filter, or somebody was hurt or harmed or negatively impacted. And then the third filter is you have to have a sort of a narrow blame focus. You're just looking at the person who did the bad and wrong thing, and you're only seeing their role in the matter, and it looks like they're 100% responsible or to blame. Nothing else played a role. So those are the three filters that cause anger. Somebody, and people should write this down, by the way. You put it on an index card or a post-it or something. Somebody did something bad or wrong that they shouldn't have done. Somebody was hurt, harmed, or otherwise negatively impacted. And the wrongdoer was 100% responsible or unilaterally to blame. From that information, no one should ever be confused from today on as to why they got angry. They got angry because they looked at the situation through those three filters, and they believed that what they were seeing was absolutely true. Okay? And that's where all anger comes from. That's where anger has been coming from for thousands of years. It's where anger will come from for the next 1,000 years. When you look through those three filters and you think they're true, then the natural emotion that gets stimulated in our body from that, and all the chemicals and the hormones and the things that create the emotion of anger, get stimulated by those three filters and the belief that they're true. Okay, so those are the invisible internal causes that we don't normally see. But once you know that, you don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to rack your brain. You don't have to wonder, oh, why did I get angry? No, if I got angry, I saw somebody doing something bad and wrong. I saw hurt or harm. I saw them as being 100% responsible. 100% of the time, every time, you can go to the bank on it. But now those are the three things. Now you know what to question. Now you know what to ask. Well, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? You know, you go through each of those three things. Did they really do something wrong they shouldn't have done? Was there really hurt or harm happening? Were they really 100% responsible or to blame? So to give you an example, my wife and I are about to celebrate our 40th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And that would not have happened if I hadn't, more than 40 years ago, figured out how to get rid of most of my anger, because all my other relationships before that crashed and burned because of my anger and other issues. But anyhow, so by the time I met my wife, I didn't have a lot of anger, and she never had a lot of anger in her life. So consequently, in our marriage, we never had a lot of fights and arguments, which mm-hmm. some people think is like impossible, but there are a lot of people actually that have good marriages and they don't fight, they don't argue. But but there was this one situation where we would argue with each other, and it was so unusual that it stuck out like a sore thumb when it happened. And after it happened like two or three times in the same situation, I said, something fishy's going on here, okay? And what would happen is it would happen only when we went on a car trip somewhere, never any other time. And it wouldn't happen on the way to the destination. We wouldn't argue when we were there. It was only on the drive home. Usually I'd be driving, and we'd be driving home. My wife would say at some point, oh, there's something over here. It's only an hour off of our path. I'd really like to go see that. And I would go, no, we're not doing that. And she would go, you know, I'd have a tone, you know, you know, kind of an angry tone. And she said, what do you mean we're not doing that? And I said, we're not. And of course, I was driving, so I had control of the car. And I said, no, we're not doing that. And she said, why aren't we going to do that? And I said, because we don't do that. It's not, you know. So I in my family, the way we drove home was we drove straight home. We never deviated except to get gas or food or whatever. In her family, she was an only child, and her father and mother, they would always go off the beaten path and go see things and do things on the way home. So I was reacting out of my tradition, my way of how I thought it was right way to drive home. And I saw her way as being wrong. First filter, she was doing something bad and wrong by asking to deviate. So when I went through this process and I realized, okay, I got angry at her. So those are the three filters. Let me look at them. Are they really true? So I took the first one. Is it really true? I asked myself, is it really true that by her wanting to go off the direct path home, that she was doing something bad and wrong? As soon as I asked the question, I realized the answer was no. It's not wrong. It's just, you know, I have my preference. She has her preference. I have my family tradition. She has hers. It's really not wrong that she wants to do it. It's just different, you know? And so as soon as I saw that, I said, oh my gosh, I kind of judged her to be doing something wrong when in fact she wasn't. So my filter had made it look like she was doing something wrong, but then I could realize my filter was wrong and that she was perfectly within her rights to ask to do that. And there was really no reason for me not to say yes, other than it violated my standard. But in truth, we didn't have to be home at any particular time. It really wasn't a big deal whether we did it or not. So from that point on, we never had the argument again, because from that point on, every time she wanted to go off the beaten path, I would say, sure, if it makes you happy, let's go. Because I stopped seeing it as a wrong request or as a wrong action. And that's what I mean by when you realize what your filters are that are causing your anger, and you can start to dig into them and say, well, are they really true or not? You'll often find that they're not. And as soon as you find that what's really true, it can end the anger problem, either immediately or over the long run. So we don't have that argument anymore, because I see the situation differently. My filter still tries to filter it that way, but I know that my filter is wrong now. And I know not to go with it. I know not to blame her for being wrong, because she's not. So
yes, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Because in our family, we do a lot of road trips. And sometimes we decide that right when we start our trip, like my husband would say, oh, if we take this road, I can take you guys by a waterfall. Do you want to do this? And we're like, yes. But other times we go straight through, because we all want to make it home. So, you know, but it's just so important to just realize that we all have, you know, different experiences that we grew up with. And then sometimes why not explore a little longer when you actually pass by, you know, a nice viewpoint or like a nice shopping center, right? Why not?
Yeah. The truth is, why not? You know, I had this very rigid rule, you know, it has to be this way, because that's the way I always did it, or my family always did it. And the truth is, that's just arbitrary. It's not a real rule that everybody has to obey, but it's not even a good rule, like you say, because you miss out on a lot of other good experiences you could have.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you actually, you mentioned that you had a lot of anger issues as a young person, right?
Yes.
You saw yourself as John McEnroe, you know, this explosive anger, you know.
Well, I took up tennis in my late 20s. I took up tennis, and that was right around the time that John McEnroe was on television a lot. He was young. He was a young 19, 20 year old playing in Wimbledon. And he was on television all the time, and he was just yelling and screaming at himself and smashing his racket. And, you know, I wasn't anywhere near the tennis player he was, but I could smash a racket just as good as he could out of anger, you know. And I would get furious at myself, and I would disturb the people playing on the courts next to me. And I couldn't control it, you know, because I had this wrong idea. I kept seeing it as a 1-2, you know, direct cause effect thing. I didn't realize there were these two other steps in the middle that I didn't see that was causing my anger. So I couldn't take control of it, because I didn't know how to put my hands on the controls, because I didn't know what they were. And then a couple years later, when I finally figured this all out, then I said, oh man, now I see why I couldn't control my anger back then. And now I see how I can control it going forward, because now I know what's really driving it, what's really causing it to occur.
So basically, your own personal anger inspired you to become an anger elimination expert, right?
Yes. Well, as soon as I had my own personal breakthrough, saw how powerful it was and how much of my anger I was able to let go of. As a doctor, I said, you know, I see the harmful consequences of anger all the time in my work, and I know how important this is. So I've got to start teaching. I've got to start writing about this. I've got to start teaching this. Got to show people that this is possible, because a lot of people don't know that just because they have a lot of anger, they're not stuck with it. They don't have to live that way. They can figure out how to stop doing that and protect their health, and they can keep from getting divorced, keep from alienating their kids and turning their kids into little angry people, you know, grow up to be angry adults. So all this damage that anger does, you could really stop a lot of it if people were better educated and understood anger much better. And so once I figured it out, I said, I have to get this out there. And I'm still doing that. You know, now that I'm retired from medicine, I'm still being a doctor, in the way, in a better way, in some sense, than I could when I was practicing medicine, because I didn't have the time to get into all this stuff. But now I can devote, you know, most of my time to teaching people how to keep anger from ruining their life, you know, and ruining their health,
which I think is pretty good health-wise. You know, the stress that accumulates in someone experiencing anger, I always view it as an erupting volcano.
Yeah, yeah. And it causes a lot of damage. And the more anger that's building up inside of you, whether you express it or not, it's causing trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What are the biggest myths and misconceptions people have about anger today? What have you seen out there, Dr. Moore?
Well, we've talked about the big one, you know, that it's a direct 1-2 cause effect thing. It's really four steps. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. The four is the anger. And there's three steps to cause it. Not the first one we all see, but the other two we don't. So that's a big one. Another big myth is believing, again, that, you know, if you have a lot of anger and you've been angry for a long time, there's not much you can do about it. You're kind of always going to be that way. It's just part of your personality. You know, I actually thought that myself when I was in my 20s and 30s, because nothing changed it. Nothing made it any better. And I didn't think it was ever going to get better. I was quite shocked to discover that I actually had the ability to get rid of it. And then I realized that everybody has that same ability. We just don't know it. So those are two of the big ones, you know. And then another one we talked about a little bit is, you know, a lot of people have this belief that if you're in a relationship, like you're married or you're in a close relationship with somebody, that anger has to be part of it.
No.
You know, that you have to get into fights, or it means you're not, you don't care, or you're not, you know, serious about it or whatever. And, you know, this idea that we only get angry at the ones we love. Well, we do, that does happen, but it's not required. You can have a great relationship and not have a lot of anger. And a lot of people don't appreciate that. And then they don't realize they could stop having the anger that's in their relationship, and their relationship would be even better if they did. Mm-hmm. So those are three big ones.
Yes, I agree. I always like to joke with my husband. He has this tendency. He's very calm, and we're both believers in not having any anger or any frustration. But when he's hungry, he gets so angry, and I'm like, so are you experiencing some hunger right now? We're gonna get to eat. Just calm down.
Yes, that can do that. Yeah, when you're hungry, when we're hungry, it's more likely to get, you know, to feel anger. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. How does your approach to eliminating anger differ from anger management? We touched upon it a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, again, I want people to appreciate that whenever they get angry, there's those three filters have become active in them, whether they can see it or know it, that it has. And so if you want to turn the anger off, you just have to play with those three filters and try to figure out where they may have blind spots, where you may have missed some important things. Okay. And if you start digging in, you'll find that you often did miss something, or you misinterpreted something or misunderstood something. I was talking to a gal today that I was coaching, and she and her husband were driving, and they got into an argument because she had a very busy schedule, and he asked her to do a whole bunch of things on top of her already busy schedule. And he, at the end of it, he said, please, but she didn't hear the please. She got sort of triggered by the things he was giving her a bunch of things to do. And so in her filter, all the filter showed her was these five things that he wanted me to do. Her filter cut off the please. she'd have been okay if he had said please, but she really resented the fact that he just expected her to do it and he didn't ask. Or just simply, but she, and then later she realized after they had a chance to discuss it that he did say please, but she just didn't hear it. So her filter had cut it off. Mm-hmm. Right. And then that produced all this anger. And when they had a chance to talk about it, and she really saw that he really did not only just give her the list, but he also asked her and said, please. And she said, oh, okay, well then I got angry for no good reason. Okay. But that's how it happens. We don't realize that our filters distort the reality in some ways sometimes. And that's, we get angry from what we think is true instead of what's really true. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Speaking of your the people that you help and touch their lives, can you share a success story of someone you help to eliminate most of their anger?
Oh yeah, so a couple. I can give you a couple. So there's a guy I worked with recently. He's like in his mid-60s, divorced, remarried, had a lot of anger issues. Matter of fact, he's been angry all of his life. Mm. His mother was very angry. He had a twin brother who was angry. He had two other siblings. They were all angry. Mm-hmm. The whole family was angry. And he tried to get away geographically way after he grew up to get away from all the anger, but he sort of carried some of it with him. And he still had a lot of it, and nothing had helped. And finally, his wife had given him an ultimatum one day and said, you know, you better get your anger things handled, or there's going to be trouble. So he knew me, he called me up, we met the next day, and he tells me the story about it, which I didn't know. He tells me the story about how he's been angry all his life, nothing's helped. And I knew that that didn't make any difference. That if, you know, he just didn't have the right understanding. If he had the right understanding, he could do something. So I put him through my 10-session program. He agreed mm-hmm. to participate. At the end of the 10 sessions, he was like a new human being. You know, he was like, he was not getting angry as much anymore. His wife could not believe how different he was and how he wasn't getting triggered so easily. He didn't even get angry on the golf course anymore, where he used to get furious every time, you know, he had a bad shot. And it was all because it wasn't that he didn't have the ability. He just didn't have the right understanding of anger. He didn't know about the three filters. So I taught him that. He never saw that that was what was causing his anger. Once he did, I showed him what to do with that information so he could make his anger go away whenever he wanted. And he's been a champ ever since. So I'm telling you, it's really not that hard if you have the right understanding. And I didn't have the right understanding. Despite all my education, my 7 years of medical training, dabbling in psychology, I didn't have these insights. I didn't have this understanding of anger. And so I consequently was stuck with it. I couldn't do anything about it. But once I got the right understanding, it was like the door opened wide and I could do anything I wanted with my anger now that I couldn't do before. And I've reproduced that same phenomenon with almost everybody I've worked with, that they come in, they don't know about the filters. They don't know what to do about the filters even once they learn about them. I show them, it's very easy. And I coach them and go through lots of examples in their life. And they get to be really good at it in a very short period of time. This whole idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master something, it depends on what the something is.
Yes.
If it's a simple system like this, that's not that complicated, it takes 10 hours to master it and to get good at it. You don't need 10,000 hours, okay? So, yeah. So, and I have lots of examples of people that a lot of people had just gotten nowhere with any of the things that they had tried. And then when I introduce them to my way of understanding anger and dealing with it, they're like amazing anger champions that can go out and do miracles with their anger, that people are just impressed like crazy about how well they can deal with their anger.
That's so wonderful.
It's very gratifying work. Yeah.
Yeah. That is so inspiring. And it gives hope, you know, because we have this concept that you can't change certain things. And my philosophy and belief is that we can change anything we want about ourselves, you know. We really can. I mean, obviously, there are certain things, you know, they're handed down. Even the things that are handed down genetically, you yep. can still be very good about it. Like there is diabetes in my family, but I'm a marathon runner. I exercise a lot. I eat right. So I never had issues, knock on wood, so far, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel that we are all empowered to do more for ourselves and to not just be complacent. Oh, well, my family had diabetes. I'll probably get it, you know?
Yep. And by the way, when you read my book, you'll find out how marathon running played a role in my anger breakthrough.
Oh, wonderful. And at the end of each episode, we like to sprinkle seeds of sunshine for our listeners, which is something uplifting, inspiring, and maybe actionable to help us make positive changes in our lives. So what are your final seeds of sunshine, Dr. Mort?
Final seeds of sunshine. Don't fall prey to the myth that once an angry person, always an angry person. You, like you say, you can get rid of most of your anger. You already have the ability. You have the same ability that I have. You have the same ability. It's not, we're human beings. We all have the same basic biologic equipment, okay, in terms of our brain and how we can use it. So there's nothing keeping you from getting rid of your anger except your own belief that you can't do it or it's not possible. Believe me, it's possible. If people go through my book and they read, you know, they see all the things that I teach in my program and understand it, they will be able to do things with their anger that they don't even think is possible for them, but they will be able to do it. So that would be my best seed, is to get the book, read it, practice with it, try to implement it, and you'll be surprised at how much better control you'll have over your anger and better understanding you'll have of your anger than actually many of the anger experts that are going around today teaching people about how to deal with anger. A lot of them don't understand the principles in this book.
That is fantastic. And before we let you go, how can listeners connect with you on social media, and where can they find your book?
Well, the book is on Amazon. All they have to do is go to, they can put in Life-Changing Anger Cure. Okay, and they should find it. I have a handout that a free handout that I can give people that'll get them on my mailing list as well. And it's and all they have to do is go to theangersolution.org. theangersolution.org. They'll get a PDF handout called The Best Anger Elimination Method You Can Find. Talks a little bit about anger, talks about my 10-session program, and it talks a little bit about the book at the end. So, and it'll get them on my email list, so we'll be in contact. They can communicate with me if they want to. And if they don't like getting emails, they can always unsubscribe. It's not a big deal. But those are the best ways to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much, Dr. Moore. This was just such a wonderful conversation.
And we got to get you and your daughter reading that book.
Oh, absolutely. Trust me. And I will do a review for it, because I write for different sources. So absolutely. Great. And we thank you so much for your wisdom and seeds of sunshine. And I wish you to keep on shining. Bye.
Thank you.
To contribute and support our podcast, please become a subscriber or use the Ko-fi app, which you can find in our show notes. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, sharing, and reviewing our podcast. To connect, please follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Carmen Mixa and Carmen Seeds of Sunshine on Instagram. Thanks so much. Goodbye for now.